Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. In many respects, we are a nation at a crossroads. In the delivery of critical public human service programs, policymakers and managers must consider issues such as fundamental reform, funding and financing, and program flexibility to focus on outcome measures and not just the process. In the end, the success of human service programs is measured by the health and well-being of this country's citizens. As part of a series of discussions on managing human service programs, we have broadened our reach in this space and are honored to welcome our special guest this morning, Jerry Friedman, Executive Director of the American Public Human Services Association. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Albert. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Also joining us in our conversation is Nicole Gardner, Vice President and Partner in IBM's Public Sector Social Services Practice. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Al. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Jerry, let's start off by learning a bit more about your organization. Perhaps you can give us an overview of the mission, the history, and the activities of the American Public Human Services Association.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. We always look forward to venues in the public arena where we can talk about human services. The American Public Human Services Association is a 77-year-old organization that started around the same time as the Social Security Act. It was really founded by a group of very visionary administrators who were concerned about what back then they called the distribution of relief. They wanted to have a voice in policy in Washington, D.C., and they wanted to look at best practice. And essentially, that is what our organization has stood for the past 77 years. We've undergone several changes. We used to be called the American Public Welfare Association, focusing in on those type of programs. But we've actually broadened our horizon, recognizing that there is a realm of human services programs that need the kind of attention that a national association can give it. Essentially, our mission is strengthening America through excellence in public human services. I think a lot of people don't realize just how large human services is and the presence that it has in our society. We are generally one-third to one-half of most state and local budgets. And consequently, we have a large business to run and an obligation to run it effectively. But it also is a compassionate business. So we have kind of this desire to make sure that we're maximizing our resources but doing it in a kind and compassionate way. Basically, our association does three things. We work for good public policy. Good public policy meaning that there are adequate resources, that there's flexibility to run the programs, that we can actually look at outcomes and invest in clients rather than in the bureaucracy. We then work with our members to help them implement that policy in the correct way. We do this through training and research and consulting. And then the final area that we do is we really work on our public image. I think we can be successful mainly to the extent that the public has confidence in our ability to manage our programs efficiently and effectively. And we do that through radio shows. We do that through our website, through our magazines, publications, newsletters. Informing the public as well as the profession is a key component of APHSA.
Could you give us a sense then of the scale of the operations at your organization and its affiliates? Can you tell us a little bit about who are some of its members and the size perhaps of your budget and the number of employees?
Sure. In many ways, we serve like the National Governors Association does for governors. We perform the same function for the governor's appointed heads of health and human services programs, the state CEOs. Our core group really are the states, and I've been very pleased that for the past 4 years, every state and a number of the territories have been full members of APHSA. That's very important to us because when we go to Congress and we go to testify to say that we represent states, we truly do. Every state is a member. We then have several hundred local members, counties, areas as large as New York City and Los Angeles to Tioga County, Pennsylvania, that likes to pride itself in being an area that doesn't have any traffic lights or parking meters. So we have that range. And then we have several thousand individual members. We're a moderate size association. We rely a lot on our membership to provide the kind of support to enhance the field of human services. We have approximately 50 employees. Sometimes there are more when we get special grants and projects. And we have an operating budget of around $5 million.
So, Jerry, now we understand a little bit more about APHSA. You're the executive director. Can you tell us what you do in your job? What does it entail?
I would say that there are probably three major activities that I'm involved in. The first really is association management. We're unique, I think, in that we have to be very sensitive to the fact that our members operate public entities. We treat every dollar that comes into APHSA as if it was a tax dollar, because in many instances it is. And so we're very sensitive to making sure that we provide that kind of return on the dollar. So just running the association, our own computer systems, our own budgeting processes, our own personnel occupies a portion of my time. Probably the largest portion of it is involved in member services. Meeting with our members, trying to get a sense of areas that they need us to focus in on, sharing best practice. And then, of course, there's the work that we do on Capitol Hill and with the administration, as well as other associations, partnering with them in trying to obtain good policy, good effective resources, and the work that we do in Washington, D.C.
In the context of all that, what are maybe the top three challenges that you face, and what kind of things are you doing to address those challenges?
We certainly have the vast array of human services challenges that all of our members face. Internally, you know, we also have challenges in managing during difficult economic times. When states have downturns, when their revenues decline, that also affects our revenues, so that we've had from time to time had to manage during difficult times. Staff retention is a big issue for us. We're very fortunate in that being in business for so long and having a reputation, which I think is excellent in this city, we're able to attract very, very talented individuals. They gain national exposure. They get to meet with every state CEO. They get to meet with members of Congress. They get to hang out with other associations. And very often they get recruited because they are talented. So we probably have a higher, just by circumstances, a higher ratio of turnover than many other organizations. And, you know, one of the difficult things for me is that most of our core membership is appointed by governors. When their terms expire, they move on to different things. And we develop these relationships, and it's very difficult sometimes to deal with a lot of turnover within the states. But I think the main challenge in human services, and I think it's also true for our association and all of its components, is truly our public image. The ability to tell our story, not only just in Congress but to the general public, I think is critical. We face very unique challenges in human services. We're one of the few industries that is literally working to put itself out of business. We strive for a better society. We strive to alleviate poverty. We strive to eliminate child abuse. And if we're truly successful, there wouldn't be a need for us. On the other hand, our failures are very visible. We can be successful in dealing with thousands of children. And when we have that unfortunate situation where a child gets lost, of course, the public rightfully is outraged, and as we are, and that draws attention to us. We conduct our business in the open. We're the American Public Human Services Association. And that means if we make a mistake, you're going to read about it in the front pages of the newspaper. And often corporate America and the business community and even the other nonprofit organizations don't have that kind of exposure. So we have unique problems, but we also have unique opportunities. And I think all of those makes us stronger.
So, Jerry, with that type of a mission, I'm curious, how did you get started in this field? What prompted you to get into this?
Well, I was very fortunate in that I started my career as a probation officer. That may sound like a very strange answer, but when you think about it, what a probation officer does, there's a law enforcement aspect to it. But then on the other hand, there's kind of a case management function. You know, when somebody's coming out of prison, they need a job, they need housing, they need treatment, they may be addicted to drugs and alcohol, and you have to work with that. And what I learned from that experience was that very often the human services system broke down for people. And it was mainly because of the way that we were structured within a categorical system. And that really shaped a lot of my early thinking about how we could provide services in a different way, how we could have a more coordinated strategy for dealing with the multiple problems that people were facing. And so I had this exposure to the broad array of human services through that experience. I then was fortunate enough to kind of have a career progression that led me to be a county human services administrator in two different counties in Pennsylvania. And then I became a state director of public welfare in Pennsylvania. Later in Washington State, I was in charge of the Economic Services Administration. And before my job at APHSA, I was the executive deputy commissioner for the Texas Department of Human Services. What that gave me, I think, was good practical experience in actually providing the services at the county level, but then having the state experience. And through that, I touched various systems, everything from health care to child welfare to mental health, drug and alcohol programs. And so when the association was recruiting for a new executive director, I think that they wanted somebody with both state and local experience and having the kind of a broader perspective of having administered a wide array of programs.
So as you reflect back on your career, is there one aspect of that that you feel has really shaped your current leadership role and perhaps informed your current style?
Albert, the one asset that I think that I bring to APHSA is a 25-year history of being a member. This association was my safety net. When I absolutely needed information and needed it quickly, I had them on my speed dial. When we had public policy that we needed changed, I can give you a very good example, and that was with welfare reform when there was a provision that legal immigrants were not entitled to food stamps. Our state legislature and our governor, I was in Washington State at the time, said, this is unacceptable. Find a way to make a change. It was APHSA, our association, that led the change in Congress that allowed states to purchase food stamp coupons for this population. So I came in with a great deal of passion about the association and the work that the association does as a consumer and as a member. So what I bring to the association is I have such talented coworkers. Oh, they're working on their PhDs and their law degrees, and they're just extraordinary. But I can look at something across my desk and say, if I was a member, would this make sense to me? And so as long as I think I can keep that member perspective, I'll be able to enrich the association to some degree.
That's fantastic. What are some of the lessons learned from welfare reform efforts? We will ask Jerry Friedman, Executive Director of the American Public Human Services Association, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.